Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now today we're going to talk to you about Peter and Paul's Gospels. Now a lot of people believe that Peter and Paul preach the same thing, but we're going to cover Scripture today to show that they preach different things. But what I want to go through first is to show you that the word gospel means good news. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3, and I want you to notice in verse 8 it says, Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, it says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." So what we have here, we had some good news that was preached unto Abraham, and the good news that was preached unto him was, In thee shall all nations be blessed. And so God preached this unto Abraham, and this was good news unto Abraham. This was the gospel unto Abraham, okay? But it is not the gospel we are to preach today. Now, let me show you what the gospel is that was given to the Apostle Paul and others that we're supposed to be preaching today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice in verse 1 it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now this is what we're supposed to be preaching today about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now, before Jesus Christ died, they were also preaching another gospel, but this other gospel did not have the death, burial, and resurrection in there. Watch, let me show you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 1 it says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." All right, notice what he said. He said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is not what was preached unto Abraham. What was preached unto Abraham was, "In thee shall all nations be blessed." This is something completely different. It is a different gospel than what Abraham got. Now watch, let's go on. So what we have is John the Baptist preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Notice in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what we have is we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also preaching the exact same thing John is preaching. He is preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Notice in verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So what we have here is that they are preaching something called the gospel of the kingdom, okay? And this is quite different from what Abraham was preaching, all right? Or what was preached to Abraham, rather. Now, what I want to show you is this gospel was also preached by the 12 apostles. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, notice in verse 5 it says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now watch verse 7. "And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand." So what we have here is we have the 12 preaching the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the same thing John the Baptist was preaching. They were all preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what they were preaching, all right? Now, I want you to understand that the 12 apostles and John the Baptist, they didn't know that Christ was going to die and pay for the sins of the world. Okay, now watch. Here's something I want you to fully understand. Now, in let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. Okay, in Luke chapter 9. I want you to go to Luke chapter 9. That's where we want to go. In Luke chapter 9, I want you to go to let's see here. Luke chapter 9. Notice in verse 1, let's go with verse 1, it says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." Now watch verse 6. "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now question, were the 12 apostles preaching the gospel? Well, yes, they were. What were they preaching? They were preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now watch, let's go on. Let's go to Luke chapter 18, which is a little bit later in time. In Luke chapter 18, I want you to notice in verse 31. Now, I want you to understand that the 12 apostles are already out there preaching the gospel. Now, watch what happens here. Verse 31. "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Now watch verse 34. This is very important. Look on the screen here. Now watch. "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." All right? Now watch. Jesus Christ just flat out told him, he says, look, they're going to take me, they're going to scourge me, they're going to put me to death, and the third day I'm going to rise again. So the apostles, it says here, they understood none of this. All right? They didn't comprehend what was going on. They didn't know that Christ was going to die, okay, at Calvary. But yet, were they preaching a gospel? Yes, they were. What was that gospel? That gospel was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? But they did not know that Christ was going to die. Now watch. All right, let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Notice in verse 21 it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, question, did Peter know that Christ was going to die? No, he did not. In fact, Jesus said, look, I'm going to die and be raised again the third day. And Peter said, this ain't happening, Lord. It ain't going to happen unto you. What did the Lord say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, so what we have here is we have the 12 apostles, including Peter here, that did not know that Christ was going to die, much less die and pay for sins. Okay, they didn't know this. Well, there was a reason that they didn't know this. God had not revealed it unto them yet because he had to keep it a secret. Now watch. I want you to know, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want you to notice, Paul says in verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, okay? Paul says here in the scripture that none of the princes of this world knew about Christ dying and paying for sins. Now, I want you to think for a moment. If Satan and his angels knew that Christ was going to die and pay for sins, they would not have killed him. That's what Paul is saying right here. Verse 8 again. "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So what happened was Satan was thinking, okay, well, this is the king. This is supposedly the king. Well, if we kill the king, okay, he can't establish his kingdom. So that's what they were thinking. That's what they did. We're going to kill Jesus Christ, not knowing that when they did, he was going to die and pay for the sins of the world. This was a mystery. This was kept secret. All right. Now, the 12 apostles did not know this. Okay. The 12 apostles did not know that Christ was going to die, much less pay for the sins of the world. But yet they were preaching a gospel. What was that gospel? That gospel was, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what they were preaching. Now, after Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again, okay, eventually we found out that Christ died and paid for sins. Now, a lot of people out there teach that the Apostle Paul, this was revealed unto the Apostle Paul, and then Paul revealed it unto the 12. But there are some things that Peter and them already knew before Paul did, okay? And one of those, which I'm going to show you, is they found out that Christ died and paid for sins right after he rose from the dead. Now watch. All right. Now, we saw in the scriptures where they didn't know he was going to die. All right. Now let's go to Luke 24, Luke chapter 24. Okay. Luke chapter 24. I want you to notice in verse, let's go to verse 44. Now, what we have here is after Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he's with the 12 apostles. Now, watch. Let's go on. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, watch verse 45. It's very, very important. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again, and rise from the dead the third day. Okay? So what we have here, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he sat down with the apostles, okay? And the Bible says he opened up their eyes to the scriptures that they might see and they might understand why he had to suffer. Okay? So Jesus Christ told them why he had to suffer. All right? And he opened up their understanding to it. All right? Now watch. Let me show you. Now, a lot of people believe that the Christ dying and paying for sins was only given to the Apostle Paul. All right? Now watch. Let me show you. Go to 1 Corinthians. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read the gospel again. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, notice in verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Notice what it says here, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Okay? So what we have here is we have Paul saying, I also received this. What did he receive? That Christ died for sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now remember in Luke 24, after Jesus Christ raised from the dead, he told them and he gave them understanding why he had to die, and he opened up their eyes to the scriptures and showed why he had to die. Now, so let's go to the book of Acts. Now watch. Let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. So what we have here is after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he explained some things to the apostles, a little later on he ascended up into heaven. And then the Holy Spirit was given. And so the Holy Spirit was given to the 12 apostles. And so what happened was they had a Holy Spirit, and they're going out there teaching and stuff, but they had some other work that needed to be done. And Peter and them said, look, we don't have the time to do this. We'll stick with the word. We're going to appoint, seven people out here to serve tables, and you can get them to do that kind of thing, and us 12, we're going to stick with the Word of God. So we have in Acts chapter 6, notice in verse 1, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. When the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, to whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Okay? So what they did, they chose seven men out of here. Now, one of these, I want you to notice, was Philip. Okay? Philip was one of these seven people, all right, that was filled with the Holy Spirit. These were like, under the 12, these were like, let's say if the 12 were bishops, these were like deacons, okay? Maybe that makes sense to you. But these people were to serve tables and stuff, but yet they were still full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to go on to Acts chapter 8. Now, Acts chapter 8 is before the Apostle Paul got saved. Okay? The Apostle Paul didn't even get saved until Acts chapter 9. All right? Now watch. In Acts chapter 8, I want you to notice in verse 26. All right? Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Now watch what verse 34 says. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? So he asked him a question. Philip, do you know who he's talking about? All right, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Okay? Now, the eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53, which deals with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, him dying and paying for sins, okay? So what happened was, the eunuch's reading this, he didn't know who it was talking about, but did Philip know who it was talking about? Yes, he did. He knew exactly who it was talking about. It was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Philip knew the scripture about Jesus Christ dying and paying for sins. Now watch, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. All right, Isaiah chapter 53. We'll start where Philip started. It says, He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Notice it says here, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Let's go on. Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All right. So what we have here is we have scripture talking about him dying for sins. He bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Okay. So what we have here is Philip knew who Isaiah 53 was talking about. It was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you what, let's go back up to Isaiah chapter 53. Notice in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, the Lord laid all the iniquity, all the sin, all right, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip knew exactly who this was talking about. He didn't have any problem. Where did he get his information? Well, how about from the 12? All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, all right, notice once again, verse 44. And he said unto them, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking unto the 12. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. He then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ opened up their eyes to the scripture. Peter and them knew that Christ had died and paid for sins after the fact. Okay? The Lord couldn't reveal it before, but after the fact, he opened their eyes. He opened the 12's eyes to the scripture. Okay? And obviously, Peter and the 12 taught Philip and the other guys, okay? So Philip knew who Isaiah 53 was talking about. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Paul said he also received it. But you want to know something? Peter and Paul did not preach the same gospel. Okay? They preached different gospels. All right? They had the same foundation, which was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they did not preach the same gospel. Watch. Let's go through the scriptures. All right? Now, when the Lord opened up the door to the Gentiles, now Peter was out there preaching. He preached to the Gentiles. Okay? Now, I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. All right? In Acts chapter 10, Peter saw that God was opening the door to the Gentiles. So watch what Peter says. In Acts chapter 10, notice in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Okay? So what was Peter out there preaching and what did he realize? He goes, well, anybody that worketh righteousness is accepted with him. But that's not what Paul was preaching. Okay? The Apostle Paul was preaching something different. Watch. Let's go to Titus. In Titus chapter 3, notice in verse 4 it says, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice in verse 5 here it says, not by works of righteousness. Now what did Peter say in Acts 10? He says, well, anybody that worketh righteousness is accepted with God. And Paul's preaching, no, it's not by works of righteousness. So what we have a difference here. All right. Now, Peter, James, and John preached salvation by works, okay? But Paul was preaching salvation by grace. He was preaching the gospel of the grace of God, which is different from the gospel of the kingdom. Now, they both have the same foundation, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter was preaching Jesus Christ according to the prophecies of the kingdom, okay? He was preaching about the kingdom to come. But what we have here is we have Paul preaching about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now watch, I want you to go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16, notice in verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began." So what we have here is we have Peter preaching one thing and we have Paul preaching another. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. I believe they were preaching the same thing. Well, they weren't preaching the same thing. Now watch. Let me show you. We'll continue. Okay? Now, I want you to notice what Paul was preaching. All right. Now, I want you to go to Romans. In Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. All right. In Romans chapter 4. All right. Let's go over here. Notice in verse 4 it says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." All right, so Paul is preaching that God's justifying the ungodly. Notice in chapter 5. Chapter 5, notice in verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Verse 6 again. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." So the Apostle Paul is preaching that Christ died for the ungodly and that the ungodly will be justified. It says so right here in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Romans. But watch what Peter says. Peter says, notice in 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, notice in verse 18 it says, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Okay? So what Peter's preaching is a salvation based upon works. Okay? He's preaching God's not going to save the ungodly. Okay? He's preaching here that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So they're preaching two different things. Peter is not preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Now watch. Let's go on. Now, I'm going to take you to Galatians. Now, in Galatians, Peter and Paul met. Now, they had a problem there. And so Paul says, okay, we're going to go meet with these guys and we're going to get everything straight. Now, watch what happens in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, notice in verse, well, I'll tell you what, let me back up first and explain something. Go to Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, it says here, Paul is saying in verse 15, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days." Okay? So what we have here is when Paul first got saved, he went up there after 3 years, he says, and he stayed with Peter and stayed with him 15 days. That is a half of a month. Okay, 15 days that he stayed with Peter. All right? Now watch. Let's go on. Chapter 2. "Then 14 years after," okay, 14 years later, "I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles." Notice he said, "that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles." but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. All right? Now watch this. Before we go on, let me explain to you what happened here. We have Peter, James, and John. We have Paul over here, and they're having a conference. All right? And they're talking back and forth like this. Okay? And Paul says, they added nothing to me. Okay? In other words, they didn't fill in Paul with any kind of new information or anything. But watch what Paul says in the next verse. But contrariwise, you know what that means? On the other hand, okay, I added something to them. Now watch. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now watch. Let's go back up to verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision or the Gentiles, he says the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Who was it committed to? It was committed unto the Apostle Paul. Now watch. As the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. All right? So we have the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter, and the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto Paul. That's what he's saying. How many gospels do you see in verse 7? I see two. The gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. All right, now watch. Let's go on. So what happens here is we have Peter and Paul talking back and forth. Okay, Peter and them didn't add anything to Paul, but yet contrariwise, Paul added something to them. He showed them the gospel that he preached among the Gentiles. Now watch. Let's go back up to verse 2. It says, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And this is what he went up to Jerusalem for. He went up to Jerusalem to show Peter, James, and John the gospel that he was preaching, okay, among the Gentiles. All right, so what we have here is he taught them this. Now watch, let's go to verse 9. It says, and when James and Cephas and John, now Cephas is another name for Peter, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. All right, what does perceived mean? Perceived means they understood. They saw it. Okay? Paul told them the gospel that he was preaching unto the Gentiles, and Peter, James, and John, they saw it. They perceived it. They understood what Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. He says, verse 9 again, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, talking about Paul, the grace was given to him, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they to the circumcision. All right, so what we have here is they come to an agreement. All right, Peter and James and John, they met with Paul up at Jerusalem. All right, Paul taught them the gospel that he was preaching among the Gentiles. Okay, it has to do with the gospel of the grace of God, which I'll show you that in just a moment. Peter, James, and John, they saw it, they understood it, they perceived it. Okay, and they said, okay, Paul, you know, and they shook hands and said, okay, you go to the Gentiles, you go to the heathen, and we'll go to the circumcision. All right. So they finally understood that Paul was preaching something different, all right, than Peter and them were. It was something totally different. Now, did it have the same foundation? Yes. They had the same foundation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But other than that, they were preaching different things. Okay. They did have a few things in common. All right, as the Savior was the same Savior. There's only one Savior given. All right, but Peter preached Peter preached Jesus Christ according to the prophecies of the kingdom, where Paul preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was the gospel of the grace of God. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. I'll take that back. I think it's in Acts chapter 20. Hang on a second. All right, go to Acts chapter 20, Notice in verse 24, Paul's talking, he says here, "But none of these things move me, neither count I myself my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." All right, so what we have here is Paul is preaching something called the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, what's Peter now preaching? Watch, let's go back to Matthew. All right, in Matthew, let's go to chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, notice in verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." Okay, the gospel of the kingdom is what Peter was preaching. Paul was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Did they both include the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Yes, they did. But other than that, they were different. Okay, one of them was preaching works for salvation. The other one was preaching salvation by grace. Now watch. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We've been through this several times. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to notice that Paul is preaching, "You're saved by grace through faith." Verse 8, he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So he's preaching salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Peter, James, and John are preaching something else. Let's go to James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, all right, notice what they are preaching. All right, notice in verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Verse 17. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Verse 22. See thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was made faith made perfect." Verse 24. "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." So Peter, James, and John, they're preaching a salvation that is based upon works. Paul is preaching a salvation based upon no works, but by grace through faith. Now we already showed you a few differences, okay? We already showed you that Paul was preaching God was going to save the ungodly. Peter was preaching, well, no, he ain't saving the ungodly. All right, the righteous is going to scarcely be saved. All right, we also saw here several other things. Now, I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All right, in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to notice in verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Now, Paul says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, Paul's out there preaching to the Gentiles, and he tells them, look, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Paul is preaching to them eternal security, okay? But Peter was not preaching eternal security. Now, watch. All right. Let's go to 1 Peter. I apologize. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, I want you to notice in verse 20, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Now it says in verse 21, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Obviously, if they were going to hell to start off with, all right, and then they heard about Jesus and believed in Jesus, but then they turn away, all right, he says it's going to be worse off for them than it was in the beginning. Okay? So if they were going to hell to start off with, all right, just think how that what's going to happen to them now that they've rejected Christ. So what we have here is he's preaching you have to endure unto the end. He is not preaching eternal security. Okay? But yet the Apostle Paul was teaching that you're sealed unto the day of redemption. In fact, let's go back to another verse of Scripture. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians chapter 1, notice in verse 12, the Bible says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So what we have here, we have Paul once again saying they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So what we have here is we have two different gospels. All right, we have a gospel that was given to Paul to give to the Gentiles. It's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. We have a gospel that was given to Peter to give to the Jews. It's called the gospel of the circumcision. But they are not the same. Now, do they both have the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Yes, they do. You can go through the book of James, the book of Hebrews, we go to 1st and 2nd Peter, and they talk about the blood of Christ. They talk about him dying and paying for sins. Okay, they have all this. And Paul has it also. But Paul preaches salvation by grace through faith and sealed unto the day of redemption, and God is justifying the ungodly today. All right, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, what we have here is we have Jesus giving a parable, all right, about the future. I want you to notice in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So what God is doing today, okay, now what happened was he offered salvation unto Israel. Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, okay, y'all don't want it, I'm going to give it to the Gentiles. And not only am I going to give it to the Gentiles, I'm going to give it to them by grace through faith. And I'm going to save the bad and the good, he says. So that's what God is doing today. He has given something called the dispensation of the grace of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice in verse 1 it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So what we have here is God is giving something called the dispensation of the grace of God, where he's saving people by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not under the law today. You don't have to keep the commandments to be saved. You don't have to do works to be saved, people. In fact, let's go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I want you to notice in verse 14, Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So what we have here is we have the Apostle Paul telling us that we're not under the law, and he says sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, you're under grace. Okay, so what we have here is time where God is saving people by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, this is the gospel that is to be preached today to the Gentiles. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Christ died and paid for your sins, and he's saving people by grace through faith. It is something different than what Peter was preaching. All right, Peter was preaching Christ died and paid for sins, but you had to work for your salvation. Okay, and you weren't sealed sealed unto the day of redemption. You had to endure unto the end. So what we've shown you so far today is we started out showing you that the word gospel just means good news. Okay? There was a good news delivered unto Abraham. What was it? That good news was, all right, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, should we go around preaching today? Well, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In thee shall all nations be blessed. No, that was good news unto Abraham. That's not good news unto the Gentiles. Okay? That was a gospel unto Abraham. All right? Then we have a gospel that the 12 preach. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. They were preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Israel was promised a kingdom, and they were going to get it. Okay? And that's what they were preaching about. The gospel according with Jesus Christ, and preaching him according to the prophecies of the kingdom. Okay? Paul said, I preach Jesus Christ, but I preach him according to the revelation of the mystery. Okay? The mystery that was given to him about the dispensation of the grace of God. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16. Excuse me. Romans chapter 16. I want you to notice in verse 25 again. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Notice he says here, my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Okay? So what we have here is we have a secret that was a mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Okay? And Paul calls it my gospel. He says my gospel three times in this Bible. He calls it my gospel. All right? Now watch. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Notice in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now watch what verse 11 says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get his gospel? Okay? He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He didn't get it from Peter. He didn't get it from James. He didn't get it from John. Okay? He got his gospel from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught him the gospel of the grace of God. He never taught it to Peter. Okay? The Lord taught the gospel of the grace of God unto the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 15, Peter and Paul met when he records it in Galatians chapter 2. And he says, I went up there and I taught them that gospel I preached among the Gentiles. And Peter and James and John, they saw it. They perceived it. They understood it. And they said, okay, Paul, you go to the Gentiles. We're going to go to the circumcision. Now watch. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, watch. I want you to notice in verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "...and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." Now, Peter's talking. Now, watch. "...even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Okay? Now, even the apostle Peter, he admits that there was a wisdom that was given unto Paul that he didn't have. Okay, now watch what he says, verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do all also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So what we have here, we have Peter admitting there's some wisdom that was given unto Paul, okay? And a lot of the things Paul's teaching, they're hard to be understood, all right? And they are. Okay? That's why people avoid Paul's epistles. Okay? They try to stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But guess what? You will not find the gospel of the grace of God in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is not in there. God gave it unto the apostle Paul. Paul preached it unto the people. He showed Peter what he was preaching. Peter saw it, said, okay, Paul, go preach it. Okay? And Peter later on, he admits it. Okay? So what we have here is we have Peter and Paul. They weren't preaching the same gospel. They were preaching different gospels. Paul said, let's go back to Galatians 2. In Galatians 2, Paul says in verse 7, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. There's two gospels in that verse, people. All right? Paul had a gospel committed unto him, and Peter had a gospel committed unto him. All right? And they were not the same. You can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul's epistles, and all the rest of the general epistles back there with Peter and James and John, and you will find all kind of different stuff. Okay? We started out the beginner series teaching on the differences in the Bible. We taught about Ephesians 2 and James chapter 2 and the differences there, and all the other many differences that we have talked about and we're going to be talking about. Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you're out there today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's go to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, now in Romans chapter 10, I want you to notice in verse 9 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the Lord, the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're out there today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please ask Him to do so, and do so, okay? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you ever remember calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him to save you? Now, watch. Go to verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Notice here that you have to hear about him first, and then you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, you have to call on him. Have you ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? You might say, well, I've gone to church all my life and I believed in Jesus Christ all my life. Well, did you ever call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save you? Think about it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing he died and paid for all your sins at Calvary and called upon him and asked him to save you? Are you relying upon your works? Are you relying upon how good you are, or your baptisms, or your speaking in tongues, or any of those kind of things, and not trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.